Mr. Soundman going. And let's grab our hymnals tonight, folks. Let's stand and open up our hymnals tonight to 110. Hymn 110, because of the fact that when we have a problem, and we all do, who do we have to tell? Jesus Christ, that's right. The only one that can do something about it. Elisha Hoffman wrote so many years ago. And 110, we'll sing the first three. Of 110, I must tell Jesus. Amen.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. He cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. In my distress, Him He will deliver. Tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus.
Please be seated, church. Great singing on a Wednesday night. So good to come together as God's believing people. Amen. We really encourage one another. That's what it's all about. And of course, our Wednesday night prayer meeting is vitally important because there's so many needs that we have to pray for. Well, let's grab our Bibles at this time. I do have another announcement that I forgot to mention. Besides the family movie night on the 11th, we'll be having the Lord's Table the first Sunday of March. I believe that's going to be two weeks from this Sunday. At any rate, we'll be celebrating the Lord's Table in the morning service. That Sunday morning, the first Sunday of March. All righty. Well, back to Psalms tonight. Psalm 119, of course, and we're getting closer and closer to finishing her up, and so three more weeks, I do believe, and Psalm 119, remain seated tonight, and continue to lift up the Waite family in prayer for their pressing need, and we have others which we will pray for after the service tonight in our prayer meeting. In Psalm 119, tonight we come to verse 145, people. 145, and the Hebrew letter kaf. We read Psalm 119, verse 145. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for our Wednesday evening service. And Lord, how we thank you for the dear saints that come out on this cold night to hear your word and to worship the King and to pray before our Father's throne. I ask a special blessing on each and every one of them and upon those who are not able to be here tonight. And oh God, we just thank you that you're watching over and providing for each of us in the church. And Lord, we just thank you for your blessings that make us rich. And Lord, we thank you for the joy that is ours through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for these verses tonight, Lord. Another great section of the psalm. We ask you to bless it and show us some glorious truths, Holy Spirit, that we would marvel at your word tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Well, folks, in our exposition of Psalm 119 tonight, as we come to the 145th verse, we arrive at the section where every verse begins with the Hebrew letter kaf. That's K-O-P-H. Kaf is the 19th letter of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It was also used in ancient times for the number 100. In this section, David is found bombarding the throne of God in prayer. Let's observe a number of things here tonight. First of all, notice two things concerning David's prayers in verses 145 and 146. Look with me, 145 and 146. He gives us two things concerning his prayers. He says, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. Now, first of all, here in these two verses, we see David's good prayers. Second of all, we see David's good purposes. First of all, notice his good prayers. I see five things concerning David's prayers. First of all, that his prayers were from the heart, not the flesh. Look at verse 145. David says, I cried with my whole heart. Notice, David says, when I prayed before God, I did it from the heart. Amen? Folks, this is the only way to pray, because lip service won't do you any good before God. We need to pray from the heart, we need to mean it, and we need to pray passionately. Amen? Beloved, Spurgeon said, lip labor, if that be all, is lost labor. He was right. Lip service doesn't do anything. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray from within, from the heart, the spirit within. With passion. Go to verse 10. Somebody read us verse 10 of Psalm 119. Verse 10.
With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments.
Notice again David mentions his whole heart seeking God. Verse 58, someone. 58.
My whole heart. Be merciful unto me, according to thy word.
Yes. Now notice again in verse 58 that he is entreating, that's praying before the Lord with his whole heart. That's how we have to pray. We have to pray with our whole heart because we're praying to the living God. Secondly, concerning David's good prayer. Secondly, notice that he prayed with earnestness. Look at verse 145 again. He prayed with earnestness. Verse 145, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. Wow. He's saying, I prayed with exertion. I prayed with fervor, with vehemence, with desperation. Notice the wording, I cried. You didn't just, oh, now lay me down to sleep, Lord, I play my soul to bit, keep, whatever it is. No, he prayed seriously with earnestness. Thirdly, notice that he directed his prayer to his God and not to man. 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. Hear me, O Lord. Verse 146, I cried unto thee, save me. Notice who David directed his prayer to. The living God. The one who could help. The one who could do something about his problem. That's the one we need to come to. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my voice. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my voice. That's Psalm 25. Go to Psalm 25. For a minute here.
125?
25. Psalm 25, they made a chorus.
My soul cleaveth and unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I'm not reading
it. That's okay. Psalm 25. Look at verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul unto thee, O Lord? Do I lift up my soul, O my God? I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Isn't that good?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Unto thee, O Lord. Sing it with me. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Oh yes, unto thee, O Lord, do I pray. And that was David's motto in prayer, unto thee. But fourthly, concerning his good prayers, look with me in Psalm 130 before we go to our fourth point. Go to Psalm 130. Someone read us verse 1.
Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord.
Unto thee, O Lord. There it is. Psalm 142. Someone read us verse 5.
Unto the Lord, my voice, unto the Lord did I make my supplication.
Psalm 142, verse 5. You had half of it, Rita.
I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thy heart, my refuse, and my portion in the land of the living.
Yes. Notice David directing his prayer right to the throne of God Almighty. That's what we need to do. Fourthly, concerning his good prayers, he prayed for divine deliverance from his enemies. Look back in verse 145. David writes, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me. Save me. Notice that in verse 146. Now, folks, when David says, save me, Lord, realize he's not asking for salvation. He already had that in the Old Testament sense. He was a child of God. But we have enemies like David. And David had physical enemies. We have spiritual enemies, right? Now, we must pray, like David, for God's protection against those enemies. We must pray, Lord, save me from the devil and his evil demons trying to mess me up. And he will. He prays, fifthly, though, back to 145. He prays, fifthly, with an expectation that God would indeed hear his prayer and answer it according to his will. Look at verse 145. I cried with my whole heart, Hear me, O Lord, I'll keep thy statutes. David expected the Lord to hear his prayer. Amen? And he not only looked up in his prayer, directing them to God, but he also looked after them for an answer. Go to Psalm 5. Psalm 5. And somebody read us verse 3.
My whole shalt thou.
Verse 3.
My word.
Psalm 5, verse 3.
Oh, anybody? Verse 3, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My voice shall thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayers into thee and will look up.
Now notice in verse 3 what Rita read, the last four words. Look at that. I'll direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. David's saying, after I finish my prayer, I'm going to look for the answer from God. Amen? Because I know my God will help me. Oh, that's good. So first, we see his good prayers. But secondly, let's notice his good purposes. Verse 145 again. Go back to Psalm 119, verse 145. Notice his good purposes. Verse 145. I cry with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I cry unto thee, saying, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. Now, in David's good purposes, clearly, he makes it known that when God answered his prayers, he would be found obediently doing his will, according to his word. Amen? Look at that. It's so beautiful, the flow of it. How David says, first I pray, and then I obey. First I pray, and then I obey. I love that. Good stuff. Secondly tonight, from our text, notice next, David speaks about his abounding in prayer. Notice his abounding in prayer. Verse 147. David says, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. This whole section is about prayer, folks. I love it. Now, two things we find here in verses 147 and 148. First, that David had reasons for praying. Second, that he had endurance for praying. First of all, notice his twofold reason for praying. First, because he believed what God's word said. Verse 147. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. David said, I lost sleep in order to pray because I believed, I hoped in God's word. See that? You know what will cause you to pray? When you believe what God says in his word. Because you will know when you believe this book that God will hear you and God will answer. David placed his eternal hope in what God said in his word. And beloved, listen, there's only one dependable source of hope for the human soul, and that is God's word, the Bible. Where would we be without this book? We have absolute eternal truth before us, the word of God. David placed his hope in it. Someone read us verse 81. 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Let's get those Bibles greased up. I hope in thy word, David said. Verse 114, someone.
Oh.
114.
Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word.
Glory to God. Everything David based his life upon was because he believed and hoped in God's word. That's an anchor for the soul that won't give out, folks. Secondly, another reason for David's praying. Not only did he pray because he believed God's word and hoped in it, but he prayed because he spent time meditating in God's word. Look at verse 148. 148. David says, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Meditate in thy word. Now, brethren, listen. Here is the key to to a strong and healthy prayer life. Spending time in the Word of God, meditating upon what God says, will cause us to seek His face in prayer, right? Because this book makes certain promises to the believer, not to the world, but to the believer, that God will do. Promises that He cannot break. That will cause you to pray, because you know He'll do it. Now, to meditate, the Greek word is psycha. It means to study, to muse, to ponder, to consider, to commune with. David says, I'm communing with the Word of God. Amen. Listen, when you open the Bible and study it, you have communion with God. He talks to you, and you talk back to Him in prayer. Isn't that good? Look at Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, someone read us verse 2. Psalm 1, verse 2.
That his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
Now, speaking of the godly man, David says that that man's delight, that's what you joy in, that's what you love to do. His delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the Word of God. And then he says, and because he delights in it, he meditates in it night and day. You know something? I know why you're in church tonight. You love that book. I know you. You can't fool me. You love that book. And you love hearing that book preached. You love studying it. You love meditating on it. And you love doing it. Amen? David did. He meditated in it. Back to Psalm 119. Somebody read us verse 15. 15 of Psalm 119. Verse 15.
I will meditate thy precepts and have respect unto thy way.
Wow. You notice that in verse 15? David says, when one meditates in God's word, they end up respecting God's ways. That means your lifestyle, how you live. You live according to God's ways because you're studying, meditating in His Word. Verse 48, 48.
My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes.
Ooh, I love it. David is literally worshiping the Lord as he meditates in His Word. You see that, verse 48? Lifting up his hands, that's a posture of worship. Studying this book will cause you to worship Him. Oh yeah. Verse 78, 78.
Let the proud be ashamed, for they dwell perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts.
Oh, look at this. Verse 78, David says, even when I'm being persecuted by the proud, the wicked, I'm still meditating in your word. Amen? Why? Because when you're under attack, the word of God will carry you through. It will give you a peace to endure that trial. Back to verse 23, 23.
Also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes.
In verse 23, David was a king, and he said, other government leaders were talking bad about me. They were conspiring against me. But, I love the but in the middle of that verse, thy servant, David says, yeah, I'm king of Israel, but I'm not going to boast about that. I'm God's servant, number one. Thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Folks, we need to spend time in the Word of God. Secondly, not only did David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, have reasons for praying, but he also had endurance for praying. Look with me in verse 147 again. He had endurance for praying. This is something we all need. 147, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. That's prayed. 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Now notice here, in these verses, notice the words night watches and the words dawning of the morning, clearly indicating that David was known for spending much of the night in prayer before God. David was a godly leader. And he didn't mind giving up a few winks to pray. Amen? Sometimes, folks, listen to me. Sometimes prayer is more important than sleeping. That's how important it is at times. And David was known to pray through much of the night. Folks, we need to pray through. And we need to sacrifice some shut-eye in order to get a hold of God. Look with me to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Watch what David says here concerning prayer. Psalm 42, verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Notice the last half of verse 8. David says, in the night his song, that's worship, shall be with me, and my prayer shall be unto the God of my life. David said, I'm going to pray whether it's night or day. Luke chapter 6. Show you someone else who was known to pray through the night. In Luke chapter 6, we have the greatest example of all, naturally. In Luke chapter 6, somebody read us verse 12.
And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night and prayed to God.
Woo! Did you see what June just read? Jesus went out into a mountain to what? Pray. And he continued, how long?
All night
in prayer to God. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, and yet he stayed up at night and prayed to the Father, leaving us an example. Folks, have you ever prayed all night? We had an all-night men's prayer meeting back. I was pastoring a church up in Maine, up in the state of Maine, in Bering Baptist Church. I was pastoring at the time. And I called for a all-night men's prayer meeting. Men, get ready. Friday night, come ready to pray. We're going to meet at 10 o'clock, and we're going to pray through the night till 6 a.m. We're going to worship. We're going to read Psalms. We're going to pray and pray some more. Well, all the guys showed up. We had about 15 guys show up. And we started praying. And we sang to the Lord. We read some scripture. And we prayed some more. We got in a prayer circle. We prayed some more. Finally, we got tired about 2 a.m. We got on our knees. And we prayed some more. Finally, some of the guys got more tired. And they leaned over. And whoo! Whoo! About 4 a.m., I look up. And they're all asleep. Well, Lord, at least I'm holding on to the horns of the altar. I'm continuing in prayer. And pretty soon, Bob Oliver, whoo, whoo. We all woke up about 7 o'clock in the morning. Hey, I got to get to it. Man, we all fell asleep. We couldn't make it. Why? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. But David prayed, and he prayed most of the night. Folks, sometimes we need to lose some sleep in order to pray before God. Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Someone read us verse 23.
And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone.
Notice in that verse Ellie just read, Jesus went up into the mountain to pray, and it says when evening was come, that's darkness, he was there alone praying. Jesus never minded praying alone because he knew that he was before the Father's throne. Oh, that's so good. Thirdly tonight, back to Psalm 145. Next, David prays for preserving grace, something we all need. Look with me in Psalm 119. At verse 149, hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. Now, what is David saying here in verse 149? Two things stand out to me in this text. First, that David had entered into an eternal covenant with God based upon unconditional love. Look at verse 149. hear my voice according unto thy what?
Loving kindness.
Loving kindness, O Lord. David said, I know, Lord, that you love me. I know that I love you. And I know that we have entered into a holy communion, a matrimony, a covenant. A covenant is an agreement that you make with someone. Amen? And David says, I know you hear me, Lord, because you love me. According to your loving kindness, hear me, O Lord. He hears you because he loves you, folks. He loves you unconditionally. Don't worry. It's unconditional love. But secondly, notice not only did he enter into covenant relation with God, but secondly, he had the right to apply for quickening grace. Look at verse 149 again. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. David is saying here that as a child of God, he had a legal judicial right to come before his father's throne and petition him for preserving grace. So do you. So do I. Isn't that beautiful? As a child of God, we have the right to ask for quickening grace. That's when the Holy Spirit enlivens you in your walk. Now, go with me to verse 25. Psalm 119. Someone read us verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. See, it's according to the will of God and the word of God for you to be quickened spiritually. I'm not talking about your salvation. You've already got that. I'm talking about grace. You and I need grace to get through each and every day and night of our lives on earth. Why? Because we're weak. We're unable to do it without God's grace. We need to understand that. Fourthly, tonight, next, David makes two declarations in verses 150 and 151. Look at it. Verse 150, two declarations he makes. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Now, here I see two outstanding declarations made by the king. First, he declares that he was surrounded by enemies. Look at verse 150. They, the enemies of God, draw nigh that follow after mischief. They just want to do evil. They are far from thy law. Now, church, David's enemies were physical and visible. Our enemies are spiritual and invisible. You see the difference? And how much more do we need God's protection than David did? Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Hold your place in Psalms. Ephesians chapter 6. You know where I'm going. We have enemies, and they're not visible. They're invisible. Okay? They have a little bit of an advantage because we can't see them, though they can see us. But we have the greatest advantage of all, the armor of God, which they cannot penetrate. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of who? The devil. The devil, your enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, like David did, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Wow! David says, you need to pray and wear the armor of God so that you can defeat your enemies. Amen? And we can. Through the power of God, verse 11 says, be strong in his might and in his power. But secondly, notice, not only was David surrounded by enemies, but he was also surrounded by God. Back to Psalm 119, look at verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. In verse 150, he said, oh yeah, all my enemies are drawing close to me. They just want to do mischief and evil to me. But, verse 151, thou, O Lord, art near. Folks, you know what? It doesn't matter how many of the enemies of God's people surround you. If God is near, that's all that matters. They can't hurt you. They can't touch you. They can't harm you when God is near. I don't know about you, but I want to be near to him, because being near to him brings his protection, doesn't it? Beloved, what a great comfort it is to know that our God is very near whenever and wherever we need him. He's always near. Always. Go to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, speaking of God being near us. 145, look at verse 18. The Lord is what?
Nigh.
What's that word mean? Near. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all them that call upon him in truth. There's a promise of the Bible. You call upon God in prayer, he's going to be near you all the time. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Go to Psalm 46. Back to Psalm 46. Look with me. Oh, I love this verse. Ho, ho, ho. Psalm 46, verse 1. What's the first word? God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That is such a powerful verse, because it makes a promise to you, child of God, that your God will be with you. He'll be present with you in your time of trouble, and he'll take care of you and deliver you and protect you as only he can. Isn't that good? I love it. Fifthly and finally, back to Psalm 145. We'll finish up. In closing, David points to the one thing that he could trust in forever: God's holy word. Look at verse 152. Concerning thy testimonies, that's his the word of God, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Beloved, I love this closing statement by the king. Here, in this verse, church, we have something that we can depend upon. No matter what this life may throw at us, the word of God is dependable. When everybody else lets you down, the word of God is dependable. When everybody else disappoints you and breaks your heart, the word of God is dependable. The word of God is the only dependable item we have. Now, I see two reasons why we can trust this holy book. First, because of its founder. Look at verse 152. Because of its founder. Concerning, what's the next word? Thy testimonies, O Lord. I have known of old that thou hast what? Founded them forever. David says, Lord, I can trust your word because you are the founder of it. You are the creator of it. I'm so glad that I've got a book to preach to you. The only reason I'm behind this pulpit tonight is because of that there book right there, King James Bible. Because this book is not of this world. It's extraterrestrial. It's of another world called heaven. He dropped it out of the sky. Amen. And he says he founded it not just for one or two generations, not just for this family or that. He founded it forever. I love it. We can trust this book because of the one who gave it, the one who founded it. David says, Lord, thou hast founded thy word, and therefore I can trust it. Go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. I'm so glad for the author of this book, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who gave it. Look at it. Psalm 68, verse number 11. Verse 11, we read, the Lord gave what?
The word.
The word. See that? The Lord gave the word. Not Moses, not Isaiah, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or Paul, but the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Wow. Man, how many publishing companies down through the ages have printed the King James Bible? The number one best-selling book in the history of planet Earth, King James Bible. Amen? The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them that... All we can do is publish it. We couldn't give it. Only God could give it. Why? He's the founder of it. But secondly, in closing, not only can we trust it because of its founder, but we can trust it because of its perpetuity. Its perpetuity. Now, what's that word mean? It means lastingness. Amen. It lasts forever. Look at verse 152. It's perpetual. Verse 152, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Thank you, Mary Ann. Forever. Its perpetuity endureth throughout all eons of future, of the past, of time immortal. It's forever. He founded it that it would last, beloved. And indeed, go with me to Psalm 12. Just about done. Psalm 12. Watch what the Holy Ghost says here concerning the word that he gave. I love this verse. In Psalm 12, look at verse 7, verse 6. The words, that's all of them, of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Forever. You know that David just pointed up to heaven and said, Lord, you're the one that is gave your word, and you're the one that's going to preserve it, that's keep it going forever. Devil can't do anything about that, and he hates it. Because he wants to destroy that book. I'm so glad he can't. Amen? That is so good to know that this book is forever. Go back to Psalm 119. Somebody read us verse 89. Pay attention to the first two words of verse 89. Whoever gets there first. Now, here's the reason what Marianne just read, why the devil can't destroy it. Listen, even if the devil could get his hands on every single King James Bible on planet Earth and burn them together, the Word of God would still live and abide forever. Look at verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled where?
In heaven.
In heaven. You can't destroy heaven or anything in it. Devil knows that. Someone read us verse 111. 111.
My testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever.
Woo!
For they are the rejoicing of my heart.
I love what Ellie just read. Because she says, I don't just love it today, but I love it forever. I'm so glad I got something to point you to that will last forever. 160. And we'll finish up here. Verse 160, somebody.
The word is true from the beginning, and every one of the righteousness judges and turns forever.
Amen. I love what Marianne just read. Thy word is true from the beginning. That means all of it. I even believe the cover, it says Holy Bible. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. We could go on and on and on, beloved, tonight, but time would fail us because this book is an eternal book. I am so thankful that you and I have tapped into the eternal realm through the Word of God, by the Son of God and the Spirit of God. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the cough section of Psalm 119. Lord, I thank you that almost every verse in this section, David is before your throne praying and petitioning you. the one who could do something about it. Lord, we love you tonight and how we love Psalm 119. We're so thankful, Lord, for the book you've given. And this book instructs us to pray. It instructs us to trust. And it instructs us to look to you for our every need, Father. How we thank you for that tonight in Jesus Christ's name. The people said, amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We will stand. And we'll sing one in closing. 123. How we love hymn number 123 because it speaks it speaks about being nearer to the heart of God. Is that where you want to be tonight?
Yes.
I pray it is. First, all three will sing. Near to the heart of God. Oh, ho, ho. Yes. Thank you, Lord. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us away to the heart of God. Oh, amen. Praise the Lord, people. Good singing tonight. Thank you for being in God's house on a Wednesday night. We'll have Mark dismiss us in prayer, and then we'll have our church family prayer meeting.
Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here tonight. Although it was a small group, we did very well because of you, Lord Jesus. Because of the pastor speaking the right words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.